The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning on the sober day.
Very sober indeed, not only because of the fact that it's Yom HaShoah, but as you've already mentioned, also because of the fact that we're waking up to the news this morning that rockets were fired into southern Israel. And of course, the fact that it happens to be Yom HaShoah, I think, has some significance, but I don't think we should read too much significance into the fact that these rockets happen to have been fired on Yom HaShoah. It's kind of an event that we would expect on any day in Israel. And I don't think that we can particularly say that it was because of Yom HaShoah or particularly related to Yom HaShoah.
All right. What is the, has anything happened? You know, we spoke about it yesterday. We had that one bizarre rocket that was fired, landed in the sea. Israel reacted very, very strongly. And now this morning, two rockets have been fired. Is there something going on that we're not understanding?
Well, what we're hearing and reading in the press, and hearing from the officials is that the link is incendiary devices. We've started to see incendiary balloons being launched again from Hamas, we understand, or at least from Gaza towards Israel. There were fires that broke out in southern Israel that were quickly brought under control. The fires, of course, as a result of these incendiary balloons, and the IDF decided to respond accordingly, and there were IDF attacks that were carried out against Hamas targets in Gaza overnight. And we understand that these two rockets that were launched in the early hours of this morning were in retaliation to the retaliation. So we're seeing, we're seeing this retaliatory effect, and it's just backwards and forwards at the moment in that regard. And so these two rockets, fortunately, both of them landed in open areas. There was no damage. There were no injuries caused as a result of this rocket fire. But it does indicate that it's probably going to be quite a long and a relatively hot summer. Because obviously as the land dries out and as it becomes more susceptible to fires breaking out, we are likely to see more and more of these incendiary devices being sent over the balloons, the kites. We did speak yesterday about this new weapon that the IDF has against incendiary balloons and incendiary devices, and we certainly hope to see more of it in use over the coming weeks and months as the threat increases. But I think there's another interesting thing that has been developed by Elbit Systems, which is the ability to fight and control fires much more quickly and more effectively. And there are two new developments that Elbit has come up with, the first of which is something which allows airborne firefighting capability to actually be deployed at night, not only in the day. Up until now, the ability to fight fires from the air has been limited to daytime only. And now Elbit have developed the system which allows aircraft to operate at night as well. So I think that's the first and a very important development. The second development is that whereas aircraft, generally speaking, when they fight fires, have had to operate from fairly low altitudes, now Elbit have developed this ability to fight fires from a higher altitude. And all of this means not only that fires can be fought from the air during nighttime hours, but also because fires can be effectively fought from relatively higher altitudes, it means halving the time that the aircraft take to get to the fire area. So it means we can respond to those fires much more quickly than has been the case up until now. It's a very interesting development because it's in conjunction, the development has been made in conjunction with the Shenkar College of Engineering and Design in Ramat Gan, special firefighting capsules that apparently are the size of a small purse, a small money purse, that have a special filling, fire retardant filling. The capsule can be dropped from a relatively high altitude and still fight the fire effectively. Up until now, as you know, aircraft have been fighting fires using just spraying liquid down, and the higher up you go, the less effective that spray is because it has this sort of aerosol effect, which doesn't concentrate the liquid on the fire as much as we require it. And so this new development allows fires to be fought from a much higher altitude. So all interesting things, and once again, indications of how much time, effort, and money Israel is spending in defense mechanisms rather than in attack. But it is, of course, unfortunate that we're being forced to do this because, of course, we're having to fight fires and we're having to fight against rockets that are being fired against us.
Absolutely right. Moving on, Yom HaShoah today is observed in Israel. What does it look like in Israel? How does this observation look to us?
Well, you know, Israel, of course, is the place where there are two people and at least three or probably four opinions amongst them. And so obviously there is a lot of discussion about Yom HaShoah, how relevant it is to the younger generation. We heard some comments from the listeners about the fact that, you know, as we go down the generations, luckily our children and our grandchildren don't really understand the significance, don't know who Hitler is, and don't understand the significance of it to the same extent that we do. And so, of course, it is our responsibility to make sure that they know and that they don't forget. But I think we also have different responsibilities. And I think one of the main responsibilities that I think we have is not to link everything to Nazis and to Hitler. Every little thing that goes wrong, every little threat that we might have, all of a sudden they become Nazis and they become Hitler. In the same ways, Israel becomes an apartheid regime. It's kind of over-exaggeration, and it reduces the amount of focus and the kind of hatred and the evilness that was really a part of that Nazi regime and came from Hitler himself. And so I think we need to be very cautious about over-exaggeration because it serves just to dilute the real evil that came from that regime. And I think that we need to be cautious where that's concerned.
Yeah, I think that's
it
right.
It's been very interesting. There's been a debate that's been taking place in Israel over the past few days. And it's all about, is it appropriate to watch Champions League football on Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron?
Depends who you support.
It doesn't really matter who you support because a lot of Israeli support, you know, I mean, there are four teams now in the semi-finals.
I think it was fine for us to watch Liverpool last night, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm one of those Liverpool supporters who's a little disappointed this morning. But the question is, you know, is it appropriate to watch Champions League football? Is it appropriate to do certain things on this day? We know that, for example, regular TV and radio programming has been ceased. So the games were not carried on Israeli TV last night, or the game was not carried on Israeli TV last night. And so there's a lot of discussion about, you know, should we watch it or should we not watch it? And for me, it's been instructive to hold this debate because it shows different views that are held by different people. One person said to me, we as the Jewish people celebrate life and not death, and therefore, you know, watching Champions League football is a celebration of what we have achieved since the Shoah rather than dwelling too much on the events of the Shoah. So that's one view. Another view said, I don't think it's appropriate that, you know, we should do anything that really goes against the spirit of the day. And by the spirit of the day, I mean, there is no, you know, entertainment areas were all closed last night, all restaurants and coffee shops and things like that, gyms, areas like that were all have been closed last night. Having said that, a lot of them will be open today, but they operate without music in order to try to make the day a little bit more solemn. The music on the radio is toned down. I hear that you guys have also participated in that spirit, and I've heard the toned down music that you're carrying on high today as well. So that's, you know, to try to make the day a slightly different day. And of course, you know, in about an hour from now, that siren will sound. And different people will react in different ways. There are people who absolutely oppose standing still when the siren is sounded. Absolutely. And you see them walking around and potentially even making a noise in order to oppose it. Now, you know, my view is that that's very disrespectful. You have your view about not standing still during the silence for whatever reason. And there are, you know, a multitude of reasons that are given as to why people don't like to stand still during the siren. That's fine. Do it at home. Don't go out on the street and insult other people who do want to respect the siren. You know, you have your right to your view and you don't have to necessarily impose that view on everybody else. So that's my view about you know, the siren, but certainly most of Israel will come to a standstill, and I think it's absolutely right. There is a lot of debate about survivors of the Shoah and the fact that this is their day to day, but during the rest of the year, they kind of get forgotten. A lot of them are living in poverty. Is the state doing enough in order to support the survivors? That's another debate. And a further debate that comes out is, you know, this anti-Semitism that seems now to be promoted by national governments. And there's a report that's been published about, you know, the governments that seem to be supporting anti-Semitism, either by not opposing it sufficiently or actually by making statements which are anti-Semitic and therefore representative of those national governments. So these are the kind of debates which I think we are having today amongst the different generations. And I think that they're pertinent, that they should be held by all Jews around the world. And I would encourage people to think about this, these issues, and talk about them.
Absolutely, because I think if we don't, that's exactly when they get lost. And, you know, the study that's just come out of Austria, horrific. The lack of knowledge. I think American society reflecting the same thing. And, it's, we've got this unique or this crazy situation that most American Jews, identify being Jewish with the Holocaust, but the rest, but barely even understand what that means. So it's a very, very frightening state of affairs. I mean, I was saying a little bit earlier in the show that a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago when I did, the show, I think it was the afternoon show at the time, on your Mashua, I was struggling to find relevance today to it. Now, 2 years later, in 2019, anybody who has their eyes even slightly open as a Jew and in fact, most practicing religions, will see the amount of hate and, prejudice against them. We certainly don't need to be told that this is a relevant day. It is more relevant today than it was even a number of years ago.
And I think it's our responsibility to make it relevant. You know, it's not only about looking back. It's not only about memorializing those who were lost during this most ugly period in Jewish history and in world history. But it's also, as you rightly say, about thinking about what it means to us today, to the younger generation, to the people of a certain age who've gone through a little bit more and who've seen different things. You know, what does it mean to all of us? And I think our responsibility is really to make it as relevant as we can as educators for our children, to make them understand that this is not something that we're just looking at in the past, but it is potentially something that is very relevant today and unfortunately could happen in the future if we're not careful.
Absolutely right, Anthony Rach. That's where we leave it. It is Thursday, which means that we will catch up with you on Monday. Thank you as always, and have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. That's Anthony Rach with the Israel Report, coming to you Monday to Thursday at 7:45.